I didn't realize I was going to be speaking to the sheep and the goat. It's divided here. I guess it depends on which way you're turned, is which is the sheep and which is the goat, but good to see everyone here. What time am I supposed to quit? Is there a bell or anything? Does that mean it's done? Okay. I got to know how much take an hour's worth and put it in 45 minutes to pace it. I'm good? Oh. Includes invitation. Do we have an invitation song? Is that already... it'll be up? All right. Very good. All right. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through. Think how he was beguiled, spat upon, and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Well, I wanted to talk to us a little bit tonight about a topic that I hope will be beneficial and helpful. And just asking a question, do others know that you are his disciple? Now, that might seem like maybe a bit of an odd question, but I think it's an important question. And so when we think about that, it's kind of showing up there funky just a little bit. Some people will say, yes, people know that I'm his disciple. And how do they know that? Well, first of all, they know that... wow, whoever's back there is really smart. You did good. Is that Wilson back there? He did that. They say, well, I've been baptized. Everybody knows I'm his disciple because I was baptized. Somebody say, well, you know, yes... people know that I'm his disciple because I attend worship services. Somebody might even say, well, you know, I teach the right doctrine. Or so there might be any number of answers to that question. And I'm not trying to minimize the idea of being baptized. I hope you understand that. Being baptized is very, very important. And there might be some that would know that you're a disciple because you were baptized. And certainly not minimizing the idea of attending worship services. But you do realize that there have been people that have been baptized that don't live it. You know there have been people that attend worship services that aren't Christ-like. And you certainly know that there are people that have taught the truth and or know the truth, and maybe even have discussions or debates with people about the truth, but they don't live it. So I would like to say that, how do people know that you're a disciple? So what I want to do, I want to look at John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And I really think this is a great text. And I'm going to come down there. I don't feel very comfortable up there. Notice this passage. I give you a new commandment. Love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So what I want to highlight just for a second is the idea of love one another. Just as I've loved you. We'll talk a little more deeply about that. But then he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. So yes, what I'm specifically saying is, those other things we talked about, being baptized, going to church, etc., those things are important. But that's not what Jesus said is what indicates to everyone that you're my disciple. It's your love. So let's talk a little bit about this. Obviously, if everyone will know that you're a disciple, then it must be a visible love. You might not know some of the things that I love. Maybe some of you might know that I love strawberry shortcake. Unless you see me eating strawberry shortcake, you might not know that I love strawberry shortcake. And we could list a number of other things, but Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. So it's visible. And I want to suggest that it goes beyond these four walls. It's not just something that's contained here. Everyone. And it's more than a few hours that we meet. Everyone will know. You remember the passage in John 14, verse 15? The text says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Keeping his commandments is something that is an ongoing, continual process. It's not that you keep the commandments for a few minutes and then that proves from now on you love God. In actuality, the keeping of the commandments is a continuance, just like the love of God is continued. It's based upon your obedience, your faith, your trust. So, love one another. Let's think about that just for a moment. The command is not new. Now, if you read ahead, you'll notice here it says, I give you a new commandment. So it looks like right off the bat I'm contradicting the Lord here. Let me explain a little bit to you here, okay? The command to love is not new. If you have your Bibles, look at Leviticus chapter 19 just briefly. In Leviticus chapter 19, under the Mosaic law, if you'll notice verse 18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Okay? So it's very clear that under the Mosaic law, the children of Israel were commanded to love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 34, the stranger who resides with you shall be to you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. Now, what is interesting about that Leviticus passage is that those two verses, the first, you're to love your countrymen, but you're also, in the latter verse, you're to love those who are not your countrymen. They're foreigners. God's command was to love both. Now, it's the same idea as the husband love your wife. In Ephesians 5, verse 28, husbands are loved their wife as they love themselves. But the text also says, as Christ loved the church. And I want you to notice that both of those are emphasized. And let me say it this way. Under the new law of Jesus Christ, the love that a husband is to have for his wife is borrowed from the idea of the old law, the Mosaic law, and the new concept under the new law. Self, and as Christ loved the church. What's the significance of that? Well, I think the significance of that is when we stop to consider the idea of new. The word new is in quality, not time. When you see the word new in the scriptures, it can denote one of those two things. Here in this text, he's not talking about time, he's talking about quality. Jesus is saying, I give you a new commandment, a new quality of depth. It's fresh. It's in a special way. It's a higher standard of love. So the husband is to love his wife as himself, but also in a special way as Christ loved the church. That is a higher standard. In that way, it's new. So to love one another or to love your neighbor was stated under the Mosaic Law. But what Jesus did, he refreshed it. He made it a higher quality. And so therefore, when we think about the idea of love, Moses' love, love is self, Christ's law, love self-sacrificing. Self-sacrificing. And I think that's important. In John 15, verse 13, you remember that the Lord, he talked about, let's turn there and read that just briefly. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. So this is a great love that you would die for someone. Jesus demonstrated the highest possible love. Let me say it this way. Jesus revealed to all mankind for all time the ultimate of love. Those under the Mosaic Law did not know that love yet. But we do. We must follow his example. So when Jesus says, love one another, just as I have loved you. Now, I just want to, I guess we can make this a class too, if you'd like. As long as y'all don't talk too much, I got a lot to say. Anyway, have you ever loved anybody like Jesus loved us? Seriously. In fact, we didn't even know how to love in that high form until Jesus showed us what love is. Just as I have loved you, the motive for loving others. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, we see another beautiful passage, and it is again John, who says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We talk about how much God loves us. Jesus demonstrated that. Jesus died for us. We must be willing to die for the brethren. Now, this is a good opportunity. Okay, everybody on this side right here, okay, look over there to them people over there. The goats. Look at the goats over there. Okay, all of you all over there, look at these people over here. See all those people? Some of you know some of you. Some of you don't know anybody. Would you die for those people? Would you die for those people? Really? When you don't even know? Why not? Do you think you can do what Christ did? But that's a big if, isn't it? And that's the whole question. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, John continues and he says, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So here's the mental gymnastics of that. God manifested the depth or the quality of love that we're to have for one another. How do we know that? How do we know what that even looks like? How we're supposed to do that? Well, Jesus showed us. He showed us how you're supposed to love one another. What did he show us? He showed us that he died for us. So this is the point John is making. This is the way people will know that you are really a disciple. When you have that kind of love. And again, I ask the question, have you ever loved like that? Well, notice again in verse 19, he says, we love because he first loved us. We didn't know anything about love. Now go back to husbands and wives. When I got married, I said I loved Mary Lou, and I think I did. And we got married. But it didn't take long to realize that there's more to this husband-wife stuff than anybody ever told me. I saw my mom and dad go through the process, but they were not perfect. They made mistakes. I thought I could do it better. I got into all of that, and man, this love stuff is hard. So ultimately, husbands learn how to love their wives as themselves and as Christ loved the church. How? By looking at what Jesus did. That's how husbands learn. That's how any of us learn. If you notice, he says in verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Here's where the rubber meets the road. You claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, but you hate a brother in Christ. You are a liar. You are not a disciple. You are not loving God when you hate your brother. Now that's what John said. He goes on to say, the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love. Notice he didn't say may not. He says cannot. It's impossible. You cannot love God whom he has not seen. Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So there's a whole rhyme and reason to what Jesus did. And I want to suggest to us, it's not just his death. It's his whole life. The whole life he lived was a life of love. It was a love for his Father. It was a love for us. And we must emulate that. And it's not, and please make sure you're hearing me. It's not how many times you go to church. It's not how many times you read the Bible. It's not how many times, you know, you tell somebody the truth per se. But Jesus says, here's how you show everybody you're my disciple. When you love like I love you. And my guess is all of us fall really short of that. So just as I've loved you, Jesus loved us selflessly. Loving others regardless of what he will get in return. How many of us love like that? How many times have you heard, yay, how many times have you said, well, I will love you if, or I love you because, or I might love you. What did God say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You ever love like that? Selflessly. What we understand is that loving others without concern of what this would do for him. Now, let's think about it in this way. Jesus comes to earth and he loves us the way God wanted him to love us. And what did he get him? Killed. He got him killed. But he loved us anyway. Was he thinking about himself? He was thinking about us. Jesus did not love us thinking of himself. I'm not sure that I've ever gone the distance on that idea in practice. In Philippians 2, I know that you've read that passage before. Let's read just a few verses of that to refresh your memory. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. And do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Question: if every Christian loved the way God wants us to love, that is, like his Son loved us, would there be division in churches? Would there be problems in churches? Why do we have problems in churches? Sorry? Yeah. Because we're not loving like we're supposed to. Jesus loved us understandingly. And what I mean by that is, Jesus knows each of us completely. My wife and I have been married a long time. And I think I'm getting to understand her better and better and better. And I still love her. At the get-go, you know, the old saying, you know, you take them for better and worse, better or worse. But then sometimes they're a lot worse than you took them for, you know. You get to really know each other. You think you know each other, but you don't really know each other. And you know how that works. But how does love, how does that work? Well, like what Jesus did. He knows each of us completely. And here's how he knows us. He knows our weaknesses and our strengths. He knows our worst and our best. I've done a fair amount of studying with couples when having problems and so forth. And I tell you what comes out in those sessions is all the bad things that the spouse has found out about the other one. Well, they do this and they do that. And they don't ever do this. And I'm mad. And I don't love them anymore. Now, I understand how that goes. I understand that. And many times I have to say to them, you know, I hear you. But if you're going to love one another as God commands husbands and wives to love each other, you need to love like Jesus did. He loved understandingly, knowing the worst and the best. And yet he still loves us. Remember the Romans 5, verses 6 through 8 passage? Very simple passage. We're familiar with it. Paul talks about, he says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I will have to confess to you, when you roll back in history, you remember the Holy Spirit recorded in the days of Noah, do you remember that God said that he was sorry that he had made man? That, I mean, when you read the book of Genesis, I mean, when you get to the sixth chapter, you think, well, that's only been, you know, 3 or 4 days. Well, it's been longer than that. But the reality of it is, we're early into man on earth, and God's already sick of us. Now let's think about something else that we learn. Paul in the book of Ephesians teaches that God, before the foundations of the earth, he already knew everything exactly what he was going to do. Making man, man would mess up, he would send his son. He had it all planned out. But he did it anyway. And I heard someone very rightly describe the Ephesians 1 adoption idea that God, before the foundations of the earth, he determined that he wanted more children and that he would get more children through adoption. The adoption of sons. So he went ahead and he went through with his plan. But man had gotten so bad and so wicked. Now, I don't mean this to be blasphemous in any shape, form, or fashion, but it's as if, you know, God is saying, you know, I might have made a mistake there. I tell you what it demonstrates. It demonstrates how much God really loves us. When we can put up with one another in our worst, that's godly love. And I tell you what we tell the world. When we can love each other when we are not lovable, that demonstrates to everyone that we are disciples of his. But it is difficult. It is difficult for us to love like that. And we have told the world what? Jesus loved us sacrificially for his enemies. He's hanging on the cross. Here is the creator of the universe, the I Am, Yahweh, hanging on the cross. And was just a mere thought or a simple verbiage, all of his enemies would have been dust. He had the power. He had the right. But what did he say from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What do you call that? It's love. But he also loved sacrificially for his friends. Oh, when he was hanging on the cross, where were his friends? Where were his friends? They were gone. Remember when Jesus was preaching and teaching, there's just tons of people everywhere, all the time, everywhere he went. There's a few women, his mother and John. Everybody else is gone. He died for his friends too. Jesus loved us forgivingly. All had forsaken him. All have disobeyed him. And that includes us. I do not have the mental capacity to even think very much on this point about how much God knows in the future. The answer that I understand is that He knows anything and everything and about all things. Did you know that Jesus knew, if that's true, and I believe that it is, the things that I would do? The things that you do. You multiply that times 6.3 times 10 to the how much? People that have lived. And Jesus stayed on that cross anyway. If you were dying for the world and you had that much information, would you have stayed on the cross? That's love. And when we love with that kind of love, people know that you're His disciple. Do you ever doubt the love of Jesus? Do you ever doubt that? Maybe you do. You shouldn't. No one's ever loved like that before. He did. So what do you know? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, He loves you. He wants us to be forgiven. And He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice that we could be forgiven. Now tomorrow night, Lord willing, I want us to talk about forgiveness. It's the next logical progression. If we want to be like Jesus, you got to talk about the idea of being able to forgive. So tomorrow night we'll talk about how do we forgive. Right now we're talking about how Jesus forgives, how He loves, and they are connected, love and forgiveness. You will forgive based on how much you love. However much you love is how much you'll forgive. People ever hurt you? Talk bad about you? Mistreated you, shamed you, spoke ugly to you? Have you forgiven? Jesus did. So, do others know that you are His disciple? Jesus died for you. Jesus also died for your brethren. Therefore, we must love our brethren just like Jesus does. Should I treat my brother in such a bad way when God loves me? Something to think about. We've got just a couple of moments. Still need to extend the invitation. We'll sing a song, right? And the bell goes off at 9:45. Am I right? Okay. Do you have a question about that? All questions will be given to Lamphere and Montgomery up here. They'll answer the questions. Do you have a question about any of that? It seems like a very simple thing. Well, just love the way Jesus loved us. Okay. We'll try that. Just go ahead. Go for it. Try that. Even as I loved you. Go ahead. It's like the first time I saw somebody play golf. I thought, man, that's easy. get out there and get a club and start swinging at that little ball. It moves. Did you know the ball moves? You know, when you're sitting, you go to swing and it moves. It goes because you can't hit it. Looks easy. It's not. Neither is loving like Jesus. Comment, question, anything you want to ask. Anybody? So let's think about this love in regards to obedience. I don't think you can see that. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, love never fails. Love fixes it. Many years ago, I may have told this story here, but probably most of you don't remember it, recall. I was having a session with a couple, and they obviously were not loving each other the way they should, and they were having lots of problems. So I said to them, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, and we started reading that, started talking about that. And the lady, she was just steaming. I mean, she was so mad, she was beside herself while I was reading, when he was talking about 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And when I stopped talking, I said to her, do you have something you would like to, because, you know, she just looked like she had something she wanted to say. And so she said, yes. She said, I have done that, and I have done that, and I have done that, and it does not work. So I read verse 8, love never fails. And she wouldn't give it up. Well, whatever that says, I tried and it don't work. You know what? I didn't even know how to respond to that. But I'm telling you that there are many, many, many Christians who believe the same thing. Because when God says love never fails, if you really love like Jesus loves, it works. I just don't think many of us have tried it, really. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. How can people tell that we are his disciple? When you love like Jesus loves, people will know you're his disciple. Are you a Christian? Are you a disciple? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, the gospel is pretty simple. The Word of God teaches us about the kinds of things we need to do to be obedient to Christ. And I would hope that if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not a disciple of His, and these notes in some way challenge you, you have questions about some of these notes, I would hope that you would, before you leave this building, contact someone here, myself, some of these other folks, and sit down and talk to them about what God wants you to do. Because God wants you to be saved. He loves you. If you obey the Word and you're baptized into Christ, God loves you so much, He'll forgive you of everything you've ever done. Do you love Him? Then you'll keep His commandments as we stand and sing.